Deacon Harold Burke Sivers is next, but first, a white California couple has been charged with a hate crime for defacing what's been called a Black Lives Matter street mural. David Nelson and Nicole Anderson were captured on video attempting to paint over a portion of the BLM organization's name painted in yellow on a street. The mural was approved and permitted on July 1st, according to the Contra Costa County District Attorney. In addition to a hate crime, the couple also faces charges of vandalism. If convicted, they could receive up to a year in jail. He's the co-host of EWTN Radio's Morning Glory and a Catholic deacon in the Diocese of Portland, Oregon. He's here tonight to talk about racial tension in the U.S. and the ideology behind the Black Lives Matter organization. Please welcome Deacon Harold Burke Sivers to the program. Deacon, thank you for being here. I want to start with a tweet that I came across earlier this week. It was from African Cardinal Napier regarding Black Lives Matter. He said this: a brief study of the founding statement of Black Lives Matter indicates the movement is being hijacked by the interests and parties committed to dismantling the very values, structure, and institutions which, over the centuries, undergird the best civilizations and cultures. Your reaction?
I absolutely agree with the Cardinal. And what's happened, Raymond, is that the term Black Lives Matter as a social movement, so as a concept and as a statement of truth, it's a good thing. Yes, Black lives do matter. The problem is it's been conflated with the national organization Black Lives Matter. And when you look at what the Cardinal was talking about, you look at their own statements of what they say about themselves. They say things like, we're guided by the fact that all Black lives matter. And then they get into regardless of sexual identity, gender identity. So I'm asking myself, what does that have to do with Black Lives Matter or injustice done against people of color by people in authority? Then they talk about we have to make space for transgenders. Then it talks about we have to affirm women that are free from misogyny and where environments where men are the center. So in other words, get rid of the fathers. We want to disrupt Western prescribed nuclear family structure. In other words, father, mother, children. We want to disrupt that and get into their own redefinition of what family is. And it says they're a queer-affirming network. So when you look at that, you have to say, well, wait a minute. That's not about Black Lives Matter. For them, it's a virtue signal, which is a veneer, because underneath that are all these things, which is really social reengineering.
This past weekend, sportscaster Marcellus Wiley had this to say about the BLM mission statement while reporting that the NBA has chosen to paint Black Lives Matter on court sides in Orlando for their games. Watch.
I don't know how many people really look into the mission statement of Black Lives Matter, but I did. And when you look into it, there's a couple things that jump out to me. My family structure is so vital and important to me, not only the one I grew up in, but the one I'm trying to create right now. Being a father and a husband, that's my mission in life right now. How do I reconcile that, what I just told you, with this mission statement that says, quote, we dismantle the patriarchal practice. We disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirement.
Deacon, I imagine you agree with Mr. Wiley there.
Oh, wholeheartedly. And see, the problem is, Raymond, is that the Black Lives Matter as a social movement has been conflated with the national organization. I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. I did a radio program for a radio station, Catholic radio station in the Archdiocese of Sydney in Australia. And the host of the show put up a JPEG advertising, just to have my picture, his picture, name of the show, and at the topic, Black Lives Matter. And because it said that, people said, how dare you, Deacon? You should be ashamed. You can't support it. All it said was Black Lives Matter. It didn't say what position or anything. And because of that, I lost followers on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, on my public page, because it said Black Lives Matter. But of course, you know, when we talked about it, then people can, then they started, you know, backing off of it. But it just shows you how conflated these two have become.
I want to play this for you. This is also Marcellus Wiley. He had this to say about that decision of the NBA, to paint the sidelines with Black Lives Matter, and he said it contributes to identity politics. I want to see if you agree. Watch.
There's a problem with when you start to go down this road of the freedom of expression, freedom of speech, and how much social space is allowed for those who don't support in that same space. And that's where I wonder where this is going to go in terms of identity politics. We know what identity politics does. It divides and it polarizes. I respect what you're protesting for, but will you respect others who don't support that same protest?
Your thoughts, yeah. Deacon. And I mean, we've seen this in the Catholic context, too. People are becoming very, you're either in or you're out. Can a Catholic support the BLM organization? And then I want to talk about sports.
No, they cannot support the organization. Again, the organization, by its own tenets, has nothing to do with triumphalism, has nothing to do with, you know, are being superior to anyone else. Look at what they say in their own statements. No Catholic of good conscience can support that. Because if Black lives for them really mattered, then why aren't they protesting Planned Parenthood, an organization that takes the lives of hundreds of thousands of Black lives every year? What's their plan for economic growth and stability and development in Black neighborhoods? What's their plan to end drug and gang violence? And what's their plan to strengthen families? What's their plan to create educational opportunities through vouchers so that Black children can leave the failing schools in their neighborhood and go to the schools of their choice where they can excel? What's their plan to promote Black entrepreneurship, Black business owners? What's their plan to actually end racial division and injustice? Because I don't see it.
Yeah. Wiley there makes a great point about when you write an organization's name on the sidelines, the court side of a game, aren't you politicizing the game for not only the players, but the viewers? Do you think that will hurt or create racial healing and unity?
No, I think it's going to create division, Raymond, because we're already seeing responses to this. People are saying, I'm giving up my season tickets. I'm not going to go to any games because of the virtue signaling that the NBA is doing. I'm sure it's going to happen to other sports as well. For example, the national anthem for the NFL, the Black national anthem before the regular national anthem before the NFL, people are going ballistic over that. You know, we understand what they're trying to do, but they have to think deeply and seriously about the effect that's going to have, or the perception that's going to have for its fans and viewers.
Yeah, when I heard that, I have to say I was taken aback. I mean, to my mind, that seems racist in its mindset, because what you're basically saying is Black Americans are not part of the American national anthem. That is absurd. They are part of it. They are part of America's story, at the center of the story. And I worry if we start having, you know, nationalistic national anthems from country of origin, we'll be here all day. We'll have Irish national anthem, we'll have the Italian American national anthem, we'll have the Hispanic American national anthem. Where does it end? I really worry about that. It fractures people rather than bringing them together at a moment when I think we need to be together. Now, earlier this week, CNN host Don Lemon interviewed actor Terry Crews. Now, Crews has come under a lot of fire for recent tweets, noting that he wants to unite people regardless of race, creed, or ideology, saying he doesn't want the Black Lives Matter movement to morph into Black Lives Better. When Crews brought up the need for Black communities to address violence originating in and among the community, Lemon lectured him on the meaning of Black Lives Matter. Listen.
Black people need to hold other Black people accountable. If anything is going to change, we ourselves need to look at our own communities and look at each other and say, this thing cannot go down.
The Black Lives Matter movement was started because it was talking about police brutality. If you want an all Black Lives Matter movement that talks about gun violence in communities, including, you know, Black communities, then start that movement with that name. But that's not what Black Lives Matter is about. It's not an all-encompassing.
But when you look at the organization, police brutality is not the only thing they're talking about.
I know that. I agree, but that's not what the Black Lives Matter movement is about, Terry.
What do you make of that exchange, Deacon? And the admission that Black Lives Matter is not about Black lives, certainly not Black unborn lives. as Kanye West mentioned this week.
Well, that's for sure, because look at their own statement. Again, they're saying that Black Lives Matter as a response, the social movement, as a response to injustice done by people of color, by people, by law enforcement officers and things of that nature. It's been going back as far back as 2015. Now, but the problem is when Mr. Cruz is trying to go deeper. He's trying to go deeper. Said Black Lives Matter as an encompassing statement. Now, Mr. Cruz made the CNN anchor made the mistake of saying, well, it was about racial injustice and police. But no, but look at their agenda. That's not what it says. There's much more there than meets the eye. And just a little quick word about the Black National Anthem. You know, that was actually came about in the 20s during Jim Crow and segregation, where Black Americans didn't feel like they were part. So they have this, it was, again, a national anthem to kind of bring Black people together. And I've heard that sung like at gatherings of Black Catholics or different Black groups and things like that. So.
Mm-hmm. But do you think it's necessary to have that before a game? Before the national anthem at this point? I understand Jim Crow America. We're not in Jim Crow America anymore, though, Deacon.
Yeah, and so I think what they should have done was sit down with members of the Black community and say, okay, how can we pay tribute or honor, you know, and respect what's going on and your needs and your desires and things like that, and before just saying, here, we're going to do this? Because now, again, something that the national anthem, which it should be bringing people together, is not going to be a source of division. And that's very unfortunate.
Mm-hmm. I want to play this for you. Joe Biden said this the other day during a virtual meetup about cops and how he regards them at this moment. Watch.
The last thing you need is an up-armored Humvee coming into a neighborhood. It's like the military invading. They don't know anybody. They become the enemy. They're supposed to be protecting these people.
Do we agree that we can redirect some of the funding?
Yes, absolutely.
Your thoughts on this, on cops being the enemy of the people and that police funds should be redirected to other interests?
Well, here's the thing, Raymond. I served 23-year public safety career. I've held a number of leadership positions, including the Western Association of Campus Law Enforcement Administrators, the Association of Threat Assessment Professionals. I trained at the National School Safety Center at FLETC. I can go on and on. And I also sat on the board for 6 years that oversaw the training of police officers for the state of Oregon. So I am intimately familiar with how police officers are trained. Reform and rebuilding? Yes. Defunding? No. The idea of defunding police departments is a far-reaching overreaction that is short-sighted and irresponsible. You know, why do I say that? Look, if you defund police, what are you going to defund, Raymond? Are you going to defund homicide investigations, sex crimes, human trafficking, identity theft, gangs and drugs? You know, look, being a police officer, like anything else, Raymond, is a vocation from God. And our Lord says himself in John 15, no greater love than a man has laid down his life for his friends. Most police are excellent, and they serve and protect and dedicate themselves every day and are willing to give their lives for complete strangers. No. Look, if there were serial arsonists, Raymond, that were going around burning down buildings and killing people, and it was discovered that the arsonists were firemen, would people be saying defund the fire departments? Are people calling for defunding physicians because some physicians do abortions and kill their patients through euthanasia? No. So why are they doing it for police officers?
Yeah, no, there's definitely a political motive here, and there's a lot of things beneath the surface that I don't think people are thinking through or looking closely enough at. Deacon, before I let you go, I only have a minute. What is the church's role here at this moment of such racial division? And because you have a political movement trying to separate us along racial lines and exploit that, what can the church do?
Raymond, I'll just keep it very simple. The parable of the Good Samaritan, you know, it was a Jewish man at the side of the road. The priest and Levite passed him by. But then the Samaritan, who were the enemies of the Jews, he came by, took pity on that person, brought him to the inn and took care of him. So even though they're supposed to be enemies, he showed him the love and the mercy of God. So what we need to do, Raymond, in this time, in this place, absent of any leader to really that will bring people together, we need to be the Samaritan. We need to walk side by side with people who are hurting, to empathize with them, to hear their stories, to feel their pain, and to say, yes, I'm with you because our Lord Jesus Christ is also with you.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think I've said this before, and I'm spoiled because we live in a town in New Orleans where African Americans and white New Orleanians and Hispanic New Orleanians, we're all so close. And because of the food we share and the music we share and sometimes the families we share, there's a real intimacy here that you don't have in other parts of the country. Spending time with people who don't necessarily look or live exactly as you do is a good thing. And it promotes, we haven't had the violence that we've seen across the country. And I think it's twofold. One, we've been praying in all the churches here in New Orleans, in the Archdiocese of New Orleans, they've been praying a prayer to end racism for about 3 or 4 years now. It's prayed at every Mass. That is powerful and an unseen element in this. And the other is that community unity that we uniquely have that I hope others will benefit from and learn from. Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, thank you for being with us. You can learn more about Deacon Harold at deaconharold.com. Thank you again.
Thank you for having me.